It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in Rose City to another edition of the Soccer Made in Portland podcast. I'm Ryan Clark. Chris Reifer is off this week, a very busy man. So we have a special guest on the podcast, Timbers head coach Giovanni Savarese. Gio, how are we doing today, man?
Good, Ryan. Pleasure to be with you in this podcast.
Have you been on any kind of trips or spent the off time in any special ways? Take any vacation?
So I took, and the team took a few days off because I think we needed it. Everyone just tried to take the mind a little bit away from the season and refresh, kind of, you know, reset. And I think looking at the guys coming back, everybody took advantage of the time off. For me, I stayed a few days in Florida, just looking at the different things. And now we're back in Portland. We're already trained twice and preparing for what is coming right now in what we call the second part of the season.
What, I guess, did you do while you were in Florida? What did you spend your time doing down in sunny southern South Florida?
So I have a lot of high school friends that are living in that area right now. So it was all of them wanted to, you know, take some time and spend time with my family all together. So it was we enjoyed our times. Of course, our kids are listening to my high school friends' stories, and so it was definitely a good time to spend with some good friends.
That's cool. And these are guys that you went to high school with in Venezuela.
Correct.
And they all moved up to Miami, or a bunch of them have?
Yes, they moved, a lot of them moving to Miami. Some of them, just since they were little kids, have been traveling back and forth from Venezuela to Miami. But many of them have settled there. And there's a big community of Venezuelan in that area, Italians, Brazilians, I mean, you name it, in Florida right now. So it was, for us, good to be able to see a lot of the friends and spend some quality time.
Definitely. On the field, you know, three straight losses going into the break, obviously. You guys would rather be in better form than you are right now, just going into that break. What have you noticed? What has been kind of the areas of needed improvement that have stood out down the stretch of those three games that you guys lost into the break?
Yeah, I think I don't look only at the three matches that you know that we haven't been able to get some wins in these consecutive three matches that you mentioned. I look at this part of the season, this beginning part of the season, in which I think we started fairly well in regards to the fact that I thought that we had a good preseason. We came in against New England Revolution at home. I think a good match in which we could have gotten 3 points. And little by little, I think that the team has game by game lost the intensity, lost a little bit of the urgency that we saw in preseason, that we saw at the beginning of the season. And with that, then there's other areas when now you are not playing with the intensity that the team should be playing, then there's tactical areas that needed to be better offensively, defensively, individual performances, collective performances. The thing I think that has been you know, different than, for example, last year, because I think last year we also had a similar start of the season, is that in this year, we haven't seen, you know, a game completely in which we've been outplayed. And I think sometimes that's not a good thing in regards to, you know, the team feeling always that in every game, just the details are going to get us to where we need to be. And I just think that a whole mentality has to change, and we need to be much better first with the energy that we put on the field. I think that the team sometimes has looked flat in some games, and we know we just have to start from making sure that every game we bring the intensity that we need to bring. I think the tactical part is the one that we can definitely fix. We have done that through all the years that we've been, you know, here in Portland. We go through these phases. But I think the intensity, that the motivation, the urgency on the field needs to be better. And I think this break, for what I have seen and the players coming back, was very good to achieve that.
Gavin has talked a lot about the summer transfer window and wanting to be active in terms of improving the team. What areas do you think you will try to work with Gavin on in terms of making those kind of improvements and potentially making signings that could elevate this group?
So I think the first thing are the in-within signings per se. You know, when I say that is I'm talking about Mora, who hasn't played 1 minute the entire season. Claudio Bravo, that is coming back from an injury. Eric, who, you know, little by little was coming back, he got hurt again. So all these players definitely coming back, being healthier, will be a huge help for us, you know, starting from the game that we will play in the LA Galaxy. But definitely one position probably we will look into it. It is the right back position. That's an area in which we are analyzing, looking into it, that we might look to bring another player. And then we'll continue to look into if we have the possibility to be able to add up more players. As I said, we're getting guys back. We're getting not only Bravo, Mora, but all the players like Barali, Fashive, and others that are getting healthier. And the only one is Gutierrez, which is still going to be a while for him to return. But we'll continue to discuss with Gavin to see if we can bring other players. But I do think already with Mora being possibly back, with Niesko that also, you know, potentially being able to be back, I think all these players will definitely help us to be a stronger team.
Definitely. And how do you think this time off has been beneficial as far as those guys just getting recovered, being able to get back into form? And obviously Felipe is a huge one as your guys' top striker. But overall, I mean, how do you think this break has been in terms of recovery?
It's been important first, I think, to clear our minds. I think that, you know, start from that part first. In order to make sure that everybody comes back, focusing in what we need to do with the right urgency, with, you know, a little bit being away, spend some time with family, and then coming back and putting their minds in where their minds need to be at. And I think that's the first thing. Second, those players that we needed to come back, that extra time for them to be able to train, for the medical staff to be able to help them get to where they need to get to, it was very, very important. We see now them training fully. That doesn't mean that they can play the full matches, but at least they're going to start having minutes and build up from that, and that's going to be huge for us. And then other players, for example, like Seba Blanco, he also used this time wisely. For him to continue to recover, for him to continue to get stronger and fitter in order to play more minutes and more constant. So I think it's been very positive for us.
Definitely. And for Seba, you know, it's been a little more sporadic during the start of the season than it may have been in previous years of his career. You mentioned that this time off, he's tried to build his fitness up to be able to be more consistent, I guess, in terms of the time play. Do you see that happening in the second half of the season, being able to kind of ramp him up a bit, given how important he is to what you guys do?
I believe so. He's a very, very important component of this team. He didn't have the chance to be able to do preseason. Nevertheless, I think body-wise, he's probably stronger than he's ever been before. What we need to make sure is, you know, that we continue to work on different areas, you know, in that the body adapts to some of the things now that are going to be on a higher intensity, higher level, with longer durations of time. And that is the part that I think is going to continue to, you know, improve and be better game by game. And I think this break gave us the opportunity to put him in a better position to succeed.
Definitely. And somebody who in the attacking midfield position has had a start to the season that was a little better maybe than he's been able to play in recent weeks is Yimi Chara. And I'm curious what your conversations have been like with Yimi and where his head is at right now in terms of his play.
I think he's been one of the most constant player that we have had this season. We have had the need to rotate him in so many positions. I mean, if you look at it this year, he played right back, he played left back, he played defensive mid, he's played as a nine. Basically, he's played so many different positions because we needed him in those positions, you know, because injuries, because red cards, because other situations, and he's delivered, you know, a lot of work and quality in helping the team. I think if you ask me, I think he can still have the opportunity and the possibility to be even better, to help us even more. I think one of the things that we need to make sure that we improve going forward is being a little bit more of a threat going forward instead of just being content with possession. I think, you know, this year we've seen games in which we have outpossessed oppositions and being able to, you know, connect with each other, 600 passes. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to be a little bit more active on going forward, you know, getting into the box, putting more crosses in, being a little bit more urgent in getting in there. And I think that can help Jimmy be even better and himself being a little bit more, you know, close to goal and be able to score more goals, because I think he has the you know, the talent to be able to be a player that score more goals for sure.
Right. And Dairone is a guy who's been an exciting player for this team for a lot of years. This year, it seems like he has kind of hit a point in his career where he's figuring out where he can contribute best. What do you see with Dairone in terms of his role and how maybe he can potentially change his game in order to better serve the team?
I think Asprey has been part of, you know, a group of players that haven't been consistent. They have shown some good play in some moments, and especially, you know, talking directly about Asprey, he's one that, you know, he's going to put the work. You know, he's going to defend, he's going to run back and forth. He's a guy that can, you know, endure through matches. But the consistency, you know, with him and other players hasn't been there game after game. And that's what we're looking for, you know, for the Asprilla that we saw last year, the Asprilla that we know that he's capable of. And we have had good conversations, you know, in order to make sure that he continues to progress, continues to feel the same that he felt last year. And that's one area that we're working on with him, because he's an important component of this team. He showed that he can score goals. He showed that he can be a threat. But he hasn't been able to be that player this year. And hopefully now, you know, back from this break, guys like him, guys like Laurie and others definitely can be better, be more consistent and provide, you know, those performances that I think they can, you know, provide for us in game after game.
Right. And early in the season, one of the positions that you guys were happy about, and especially when it came to depth, is center back. The leading scorer this year is Bill Tuiloma, you know, with goals. I mean, what can you say about not just Bill, but that position overall and what you've seen in recent weeks from that group.
Yeah, I mean, attacking wise, I think we have always counted on the fact that center backs will help us win games sometimes in set pieces, in moments. So, you know, they're important for us. Remember Mabiala in Colorado, being able to score the goal that put us through in continuing the playoff. We remember, you know, MLS back tournament, Superich being able to score a goal. And now Bill just, you know, being able to score five goals, it's fantastic for a center back to be able to, or a defender to be able to have that amount of goals so early in the season. Hopefully he continues to score more goals. And first, hopefully he can qualify to the World Cup. We'll see how that will go for him. We'll be cheering for him. But I think on the other side, defensively, I think we haven't looked as strong as we should. I think we did at the beginning of the season. I remember performances like, for example, the ones against LAFC, which we almost got 3 points in LAFC, playing with 10 men, looking very, very strong defensively. Little by little, game by game, we have been losing our discipline. We have been losing our tactical defensive shape. And that has allowed players to have so much room for them to manage that then we see some mistakes that sometimes the easy eye goes directly to those players that are involved in that situation. But it's a biggest, you know, problem that is more about the collective being too open, too spread out, too too big in some moments that put players in difficult situations to make, you know, difficult decisions. And we have seen that, and I will say just more towards the end of the games that we have played. We've seen in Miami, in the two goals that we conceded, it's not that Miami created too many opportunities. It is, you know, that in those moments that they find space, you know, we're too open, too, you know, tactically disorganized that we allow teams to be able to find, you know, with the minimum, they're able to find, you know, these type of goals. And then unfortunately, you know, at the end, we have to try to find our way back. And in Miami, we always did it. Unlucky that we didn't score in that play that we hit the post twice. But we always go in that situation because of those mistakes. So I will attribute the defensive sometimes problems more about the general situation of the team that we need to be better than just particular, you know, the defenders that are playing at the moment. So we have shown that with this group, we've been very, very, very strong. We showed last year that once July, August came, we changed mentality. We were more organized back again to what we have been. And we were, you know, probably the best team in MLS the second part of the season. So we have to go back to it. We have to make sure that we stay disciplined tactically, that we still have the urgency, because the collective needs to help the team defend better. We have conceded, I think it's 25 goals against, and which is one of the most goals conceded in MLS. I think we are in the bottom third. So we need to be better. And it's been one thing that I have seen through these years that has happened a few times. And then on the other side, we've been one of the teams that has scored the most goals as well. We can say, that because one game we score seven, but you still have to score the goals in order to be there. And we've been constant on that in scoring goals. Maybe this year, a couple of matches, we haven't found the goals or take advantage of the opportunities that we have had. But in the collective, I think we have to improve in the second part of the season. And that's, you know, what the expectation is from the coaching staff and especially from the players.
For sure. I think Seba said after the 7-2 game that you guys scored all the goals that you missed out on maybe early in the season in that one. So that kind of made up for it. But, you know, overall mindset, I mean, with the group, do you feel like they're focused on this idea of doing another second half turnaround the way that this group has in recent years?
Definitely. Definitely. I see that from the players. I can tell you that looking at last year where we were, in looking at this year where we are. You know, I think that there's definitely different issues. I've said from the beginning of the season that I look at this year as a transitional season. That doesn't mean that we're looking to get to the playoff, that we're looking to go all the way to MLS Cup again. But there were some, you know, changes in transition things that we needed to go through that I think we have been, you know, going through. But I think the team, the morale, the locker room is in a much better place this year than it was last year. So I think coming back from this break, I've seen guys with the desire to be better. But now they need to demonstrate it. They need to, you know, we as coaches, we need to get the best out of the players. We haven't been able to do so in some matches. But if you look at it, you know, in every game we've been, you know, there. We have had opportunities. We have had, maybe when you look at Real Salt Lake at home, that one we didn't create as much. But in others, we've been creating opportunities. But we need to improve. We need to be better. We need to be more aggressive to getting behind the defenders. We need to, you know, recognize moment that we can be more of a threat going forward when sometimes we look more for possession. Sometimes we have players that drop a little bit too much. So there's many different areas that we have spoken to, you know, in this return from the break that the guys are understanding, you know, the areas specifically where we need to improve, and we're working on it.
There exists, I guess, a tension between some fans of the club and the front office that has existed for the last couple of years with some of the off-field challenges that this team has faced. How, I guess, would you respond to some fans who are concerned in general about the club's values and how it might embody those?
Yeah, so what I have to say first, let's start from the positive, you know, because I think there's so many fans that care so much about the Timbers, that they have been part of the Timbers, that they're passionate about this club, and that they have had great times, you know, and difficult times, and they keep on supporting. And we see that, you know, we saw that last year, every year that they've been here. For those fans that are, you know, being constant supporting us, you know, I promise them that we're going to continue to work very, very hard to make them proud and to make sure that we value every moment that they're cheering for us. So that's a commitment from the coaching staff. That's a commitment for the players to deliver that. And I don't take it slightly, you know, that there's so many people that love this club, and we're going to work very hard. What you mentioned is true. You know, I mean, we have gone through some difficulties. You know, I remember moments in which we had fans in a Seattle match at home, no chanting for 33 minutes, something like that. That we felt, you felt it on the field. When there's a little bit of disconnect, because they're so important for us when we play at home. They are unique. They are amazing. I mean, when I talk to, you know, friends of mine, people that played, or colleagues, coaches worldwide, and they watch our games, they amaze them about the passion that they see in the stadium. And they go, wow, I mean, is that Major League Soccer? And is this the new era of MLS? And I say, no, this has been always Portland. And this is the amazing part of being the coach of this team. You have people that really care. In regards to, you know, the other part that you mentioned, what I can say is that there's a lot of good people within the club. There's a lot of people that do care. The players care, the front office staff care. Internally, there's a very good support in regards to, you know, the Timbers, to the Thorns. There's good people, you know, good players, good environment, good. I'm talking about, you know, I'm in the training facility on a constant basis, and what I can tell you is that there's a lot of harmony in what is the staff, the general staff, the coaching staff, the players, you know, in this transparency in regards to, you know, every time good conversations in the locker room. And so, you know, that's what I can say in regards to, you know, the experience internally. I wish that Everybody was always on the same page. I know that there's been things that, you know, have come out in regards to people, knowledge in regards to some other areas that, you know, everybody's aware of, that definitely have created, you know, some friction between front office and in defense. And sometimes, you know, you wish that there would be, you know, more conversations between the two parts in order to, you know, to understand more, you know, both part of the situation. And I think, you know, for me is I have to focus in what is my job is. The most important thing is to make sure that I give everything that I have to keep a group healthy, a group motivated, a group that is going to deliver what fans are looking for, which is a team that never is going to give up on the field and that is going to be able to create a good environment in our locker room and in our training environment. But, you know, I know that there's always situations that are difficult to be able to deal and you know, it's the situation that we have dealt with in regards to, you know, as I said, you know, to my experience is I focus on always on making sure that we create the best environment possible to the players.
And in your off time, either in the last couple of weeks or even prior, do you have a chance to watch the Thorns at all, keep up with how they're playing and maybe, you know, see what they do well and maybe apply some of the stuff that Reen does to your philosophy at all?
So I've been one that's been going from the beginning to a lot of the Thorn matches. Basically, I used to go to almost all the games, T2 games, lately, it's been a little more difficult to be able to make it. That doesn't mean that there's still very, very good relationship between, you know, the two teams. But it's just been a little more difficult to be able to be, you know, in attendance. That doesn't mean that I haven't made any games. I still try to make it. I try to follow. Like last night, for example, when I can watch, you know, if it's not in the stadium, I try to watch on TV. Because, you know, we both support each other. The two teams are one entity and we definitely, you know, care for each other in order to make sure that we can do well.
Do you ever watch somebody like Sophia Smith play and think, oh man, maybe I should try and sign her away from the Thorns? I mean, what do you think of somebody of that talent or Christine Sinclair or others that are the stars really of that team?
I mean, you know, the Thorns are top. Wherever you go in the world, everyone knows, you know, who the Thorns are and the players. And we have so much quality and we have had so much quality in the years. At least the time that I've been here, I seen, you know, very talented players. Some that are not here, some that are still here, like Lindsay Horan, for example, you know, and others. Sinclair, as you mentioned, Sophia. These are tremendous players at a top level. So we enjoy watching them play, and it's good that they're, you know, playing for the Thorns.
For sure. And what do you think of the fact that the Women's International Champions Cup is coming here and just the growth of the women's game generally in the eyes of American audiences?
No, I mentioned before, when I went to Italy in December and I had the chance to talk to some people, everybody knew the Thorns. Everybody knew, you know, that Portland is a location in which, you know, the women's soccer is very, very important. And sometimes they you know, don't believe me when I tell them that we have constantly sold out stadiums, you know, but they, you know, right away they recognize it, they understand because of the quality of the players that we have. So that's it's amazing to be able to have that in Portland and be able to now have a high level competition coming here. I think is something that we deserve. I think that Portland deserves, especially for the people that care so much about the team, and we're excited about that.
For people who don't know you personally, who don't really know your story, how would you describe growing up in Venezuela and just what your childhood and family dynamic was like, really?
I have to say that I've been very fortunate to have a good family, parents, grandparents that really have, worked very hard to give all of us, the second, third generations, a lot of things that are important in our life, things that we believe are ethics that matter a lot in life. We have always had the fortune to have, as I said, parents that really care, that they've been there constantly trying to make sure in the good times and the bad times that we have the support that we needed as a family. And believing in those moments, for example, when I decided to come to the United States to go for college, to take one of a scholarship to go to Long Island University, they took it in a way of supporting me and believing that this was the path to follow because I decided to do so. So I've been fortunate in growing up in a country like Venezuela, in which we had so many great friends, a good life, the weather probably the best weather in the world, I would say, in Caracas, which is always constant the entire year. So that allows us to be able to, have a good day every day and have the beach really close by, 30 minutes away. So whenever you wanted to go to the beach and have so many good friends that I still, friends with, either from soccer, from high school, from family, friends. So it's been, for me, a very fortunate situation. Soccer has been always very important in my life. I've been at the highest level, being with the national team, competing against all the national teams in South America for qualifications to the World Cup. And the experiences that you have traveling around South America is incredible because every country is unique, is amazing. You play against Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay. I mean, there's no one national team that you say is easy. And then you have to go to different scenarios. Going to play in La Paz is practically impossible with the altitude that you have to go play there when you play Bolivia. I mean, you learn so many things. And then through soccer, I've been able to have a degree of college. I've been able to travel the world. I've been able to play in Europe, in so many different countries, and being able to continue to do it now as a coach is a privilege. It's a privilege. I'm doing what I love to do. I'm doing what I'm passionate for, and the fact that I'm in Portland at the moment with such a passionate group of fans. I wouldn't want to be, anywhere else because I really respect the fact that people care about this team and I don't take it lightly, as I said. So I put my best effort to work every day, the more that I can, the most that I can to make this, these fans very proud.
What did your mom make for dinners when you were growing up? What was like your favorite meals that your mom would cook up when you were growing up in Caracas?
You touch a subject that is probably the one that all my friends can tell you best. I mean, my house was basically the house in which, every time that we had the possibility to study as a group, I knew my friends right away would say, we want to go to your house. But it's not because it was the most comfortable house or the biggest house or that I had all the answer or the best encyclopedias. It was because of my mother's food. And everybody loved it so much. I mean, this was part of the talk that we had right now in Miami with some of my friends. They're like, Gio. I mean, they call me Gianni in my friends from Venezuela. This Gio is something that really started here in the United States. So they know me as Gianni more than Gio. And they were like, your mother's food was incredible. Every time that you that we went to your house, it was great. And she's, you know, she's very talented cooking. She's cooked Venezuelan food, Italian food. She tried different things, and she had that hand, you know, to be able to cook really delicious food. And for me, we're very, very fortunate. But it's not a talent only of my mother. It's a family talent. My grandmother's both side, family that I have in Italy, family that I have in Venezuela. Eating well is something very important in our family.
Right. I think that's something that is a common thread with all Italians, no matter really where they're from in that country.
And a part for me also that is, I definitely can cook some things, but one thing that I really, really enjoyed, and that's based upon, you know, the importance that we give to food is, for me, planting vegetables, in my house has been always something that I've done. Is something very important. It's probably the thing for me that gives me the chance to be able to disconnect occasionally with the game, something that is practically impossible for me to do because of how much I care, how much soccer I watch. Today, for example, I watch already 3 matches, they're worldwide, while I'm trying to do other things, and preparing for our practices. Planting vegetable plants, different plants, flowers is something that I really enjoyed. It's a passion of mine, and that's from my mother as well, and her family side that has been very, very important.
Right, and so she's passed recipes on to you that you've been able to share with your family now.
I would say more my wife, who's also a very good cook. She's been able to also take all those recipes and also make some very, very special meals.
Food brings everybody together. That's something that we can all agree on for sure. So closing out, I guess, overall feeling for you going into the second half, do you feel like this team has the capability to make a run and maybe not necessarily do everything it did last year, because that's a very high expectation to make a run to MLS Cup again, but to get back into the postseason, to make some noise and continue to be one of the top clubs in MLS.
So the first thing that I have to tell you is that every year we come in with the desire and the mentality that we want to make it to MLS Cup, regardless to if we feel stronger or not as strong as the year before. Regardless, is that part of the feeling is always trying to figure out how to make it all the way there, because that's the expectation. There's no other expectation for us to say, even on a transitional year, saying, this is not the main focus for us. It's making playoff first, and then it's making MLS Cup. And within is being competitive at everything, MLS, US Open Cup, and next year we're starting with other new competitions. So definitely is in our mind every year. Do we have the group? I do believe that if the group, is on the right mindset and that our players, important players like Seba, Mora, are able to come back, full fit and be able to participate in that way, we do have, I think, a team that can compete for sure. Yes, it is difficult always when you have to come from behind. It's not the ideal situation. We would like to be a little bit more constant through the seasons, even though we've been probably one of the two most constant. When you look at the past years, probably Seattle and us are the most constant teams, looking at finals, looking at where we have been. But we can be definitely, maybe both teams, but I'm thinking only about Portland, more constant during the season. And that's one thing that we have to, make sure that now we can do in the second part of the season the way we look at it. So that's the determination that we have. We're going to work very hard to achieve that. We care a lot about our fans. We hear, their concerns. Sometimes, it would be great to be able to have more conversations like this, because sometimes in our I would say press conferences, we have only, you know, you and another person or three people asking questions. I don't know why we don't have more journalists that like to write, you know, things that maybe sometimes are not accurate. We like to, you know, emphasize more on the things that are important, things sometimes that need to be criticized and talk about, and how can we get better. And like all the countries, sometimes that you do have the people asking you those questions and you answer that. And that would be, I think, a good thing to have a little bit more constant, because yes, there are things that we need to improve. Yeah, there are things that we need to be better. Can the fans be proud at this particular moment of some of the games that we have played? I don't think so. But they should know that we do care, and they should know that and recognize as well that you know, in the past few years we've done a great job to be one of the most competitive teams in this league, and together we can continue to be that and support each other, because we care about the same thing, is that this club is successful, and that through, you know, that success, hopefully that we can enjoy it and be passionate about it and together as a collective group. And that's what, you know, we committed to it.
Definitely. Well, I'm always an advocate of a robust local media landscape. So, you know, hopefully there can be more people out there covering the Timbers and Thorns and other MLS clubs around the country too, as the sport continues to grow and become one of the more prominent ones in the minds of American sports fans. But either way, Gio, appreciate you taking the time today. I thought it was a great conversation, and good luck, I guess, going forward in the rest of the season.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for being constantly there and be able to give that voice to the fans, for asking those questions. For me, it's a pleasure, and I'm always available because I do care. Am I always available to be able to have the conversation in the good times, in the bad times, in moments that we need to be criticized or moments that we need to be supported in a bigger way. Thank you so much for that, and I enjoy very much talking to you again.
Of course. That'll wrap it up for us here on Soccer Made in Portland. For Chris Reifer, who again is off this week because he's a very important man, I'm Ryan Clark. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again.